Blog Talk Radio.
We want to welcome y'all to Two Wise Women Show.
That's right.
J. Dill and Dr. Lamar.
Let's go.
Yeah. Hey, 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 hey.
Two wise women. J. Dill. Yeah. Two wise women.
You know
Dr. Lamar. Two wise women. You better pay attention.
Good morning and welcome to the show. We are two wise women, J. Dia of You Are Worthy,
and Dr. Lamar with The Wise Inc.
And we are here to educate and illuminate topics that have to do with relationships, sex, money, and love. Today's topic is about sexuality, sexual orientation, and gender identity. I believe that ignorance breeds fear. I also believe that there are only two emotions, love and fear. And if you're not coming from a place of love, then you're coming from a place of fear. And when we come from a place of fear, I think it comes from this not knowing or understanding. And whatever we don't know or understand, we either reject or resist and or fight against, and in some instances, kill. And one area of ignorance that we tend to experience, especially here in the United States, is human sexuality. So, to enlighten and illuminate, to contribute to your knowing and growing, what we're going to do today is to continue this conversation about sexuality, sexual orientation, and sexual identity. Currently, here in the United States, we use the following labels to express one's sexual orientation: heterosexual, pansexual, asexual, bisexual, homosexual, transsexual, transgender. Now, if you're wondering about any of these definitions, I posted them on my Facebook page, so you can look there. So I'm not going to go into that. However, all of these labels is about variety. So maybe it's time for us to embrace our sexual variety as something to be valued, celebrated, and welcomed into our society. So because we are committed to your knowing and growing, this morning we have with us three guests. I want to thank them for being with us, for sharing their time with us, especially their busy, knowing that they have a busy schedule, and for sharing their experience with us. So I want our guests to take a minute each and introduce themselves. And this is what I would like for you to do. State your name, your age, your occupation, and your sexual orientation. Hello.
Oh, well, I'll jump right in.
Okay.
And good morning, everyone. My name is Dave, and I am 48 years old, I think that's right, 48 years old, and my occupation is I am a learning and development professional. I work with corporations as well as individuals to work with them to impact their performance in areas in which they're looking to impact performance, and that could be at a company level or at an individual level. And my sexual orientation is I am a gay man.
My name is Jaquetta. I'm 16 years old. My current occupation is I work at Hardee's. I am a lesbian.
And I'm Christine. I was a former massage therapist. I now also work in a field of personal and professional growth training and development. And I am also a lesbian.
Well, thank you. So one of the things that I hear a lot when I'm speaking with people is this conversation about it being a choice or it being that you're born. So I want to start my first question with when did, and this is going to be like a group question. When I say a group, I mean I'm going to string a bunch of questions as one question. But when did you know, and who did you tell, and what was your main concern in telling, and did the person that you tell react the way that you expected?
This is Christine. I'll start off with that question. Looking back, I first knew when I was in fifth grade, and the person I told would have been my sister, my baby sister, and how she reacted was not how I would have expected. She actually offered to come out as well to my parents as being bisexual and to quote-unquote take the heat off of me, which for me just, you know, expressed how much she loved me and how much she cared about me. And my concern was that my parents would ostracize me, you know, and would no longer have me be in, like, a part of the family, right, like to be the black sheep of the family. And what my dad said was that, baby, we love you. You know, you're still welcome to come over for Thanksgiving dinner. And, you know, we don't approve.
Okay.
And I'll go next. So as far as when I knew, I think I would answer that a couple different ways. But when I first had an awareness of there was some attraction or pull to men, I was young. I was in fifth or sixth grade probably. And but I didn't identify that as being gay. There was just, you know, it was just something that was there. And it wasn't until I was, you know, around 19 when I would say I self-identified with being gay. And when I looked at that attraction and said, oh, well, I must be gay. I'm attracted to men. I'm for sure more strongly attracted to men than women. And I must be gay. And who I told initially, I had friends, my close friends that I was friends with in college, but my main concern was really around the people who knew me before then. So my friends from high school, my family, and who I did not tell initially, and my main concern was not so much that I'd be ostracized, but that there would be a rejection in some way, that it would not be okay for people, that they wouldn't like that, and therefore they would reject me in some way. And when I finally did start telling people, it didn't really go that way. So the first close person I remember telling was my sister, and I remember we were driving in my car, and she said, Dave, I really don't care what you are attracted to. You're my brother, and I love you. And there was really nothing else for her in any negative way. And then when I ultimately told my parents, actually my parents asked me about it. I didn't have to go to them. But, you know, same thing. I was treated with love, and their concerns were more about being concerned about my well-being than not accepting me. And, you know, so overall, it was very positive when I ultimately did start telling people.
This is Jaquetta. I can say that I came out in about fifth grade, but I came out to everyone like 4 years ago. The person I told was my sister, but my parents, they also found out at the time. My main concern was other people's opinion, especially my mother and father. Did they act the way you expected? As a parent, they ask questions, but they accept me. Everyone else treated me the same.
Okay. So, was it scary to come out to the people that you love the most?
Well, for me, it was scary because, again, you know, and I think things have changed radically. Not that it makes it any easier for people, but, you know, I came out when I was 19 years old, and there's been a tremendous amount of change in our society, rapid change, especially in the past 5 years or so. And, you know, at the time I came out in the, I guess, early 90s, you know, it was a different environment. And it was scary because the fear was the fear of that there was going to be some kind of rejection, you know, and no one wants to be rejected by the people that love them and care the most about them. So, yeah, it was scary.
I think that it was very scary for me because, like, at a young age, it's hard to come out, and I was too busy worried about what other people would think and how they would treat me.
For me, it was also scary. I was fearful in the sense of, you know, I was in a 5-year relationship with a man when I came out. And there was the whole, you know, my friends looking at me as, you know, you're who I base if I'm going to have a successful relationship or not. Like, if you can do it, then I can do it. Kind of a conversation was there. And then I actually remember when I was dating my wife, I put a note, I gave my parents a note, you know, letting them know that I wanted to marry her. Because I couldn't actually be with if they, you know, like their perceived reaction, like that I, how I had it, that they would react. I couldn't be with that. So I actually put a note in their car, you know, gave them a little note. But it was pretty much about the same, like just the fear of rejection and the fear of questions that I didn't have answers to.
So then what's the most challenging aspect of being labeled a gay person?
Well, I would say, you know, like any label, when there are all the assumed stereotypes that come along with the label, and that that everybody in that category is now going to be associated with whatever those attributes are, and they're often not accurate, you know. And I think the most challenging thing is that there are people in society who believe that gay people should not have the same basic rights that anybody else has simply on the basis of their sexual orientation or who they happen to be attracted to. And to be categorized as a group and then have that group be treated differently by some segments of society is what I find to be the most challenging.
What I find to be the most challenging is people asking questions and, like, having different types of labels thrown at you, knowing that you're not that label, and it's also having Bible verses thrown at you.
And for me, what I find to be the most challenging is having people, now that I am married, we actually left the state that we're in, which is Georgia, because in Georgia it's not legal to go and get married, and everything that it is to have our relationship be acknowledged, right? Like even our name change, it's not a normal procedure for us to get our name changed. And then being a gay person and being inside of that community, knowing that there are other people in other countries who don't have the same freedom that I have, who are being persecuted or who are being killed because of who they love. It brought a challenge for me, right? Like, how can I say I have a happy relationship when knowing that there are other people who, just because I was born where I was born in the United States, I'm not being killed for it, but they are. And what am I going to do about that?
Wow. So these are some things that as a heterosexual female, I've never thought about, because we have all these labels, and labels are, I think, a way that people control their environment. But you're right, it does limit someone's full self-expression, and people tend to once there's a label, you have no control over what people ascribe to that label, and so it's like now you're having to educate, like, no, that's wrong, no, that's the misconception, or that's a half truth. And when people ask a lot of questions, I think that's a good sign if they're being respectful in the questions, because it's about understanding. When I was in school, I remember one of the things, and this is an aside, that I was talking to this brother from Africa, and he was really annoyed that a lot of Americans, and especially African Americans, would ask him, "Do you live in trees?" And I said to him, "Well, you're going to have to just educate people, because there are things that you all think about us as African Americans that aren't true, but it's all based upon what you've seen in the news." So it's the same way. I grew up with Tarzan. That's just how old I am, and that's what we saw. And so we didn't see that Africa was this really beautiful metropolitan country. We saw that it was primitive, and so that's what we thought. And they didn't teach world history or world geography, I should say, when I was going to school. So, yeah, there's this ignorance that exists out there that is going to take people having conversations, because if we're not even talking about sexuality, period, and I gave you all these different labels that are out there, you can understand the confusion. I was watching this show, this video on about the Netherlands, and they start teaching, it's a requirement that you start teaching children about sexuality in kindergarten. Can you imagine? And they have the lowest teen pregnancy rate. Can you imagine what that would do for us if we started teaching sexuality, period, and across the board about everything? What type of life? Go ahead. I hear somebody wanting to speak, so go ahead and speak. You can interrupt me.
Well, yeah, you know, it's interesting because when you started the show and you were saying all these different categories of sexual orientation, right? And as I was listening to that, I thought, well, gosh, it's really interesting, because really all those different labels and categories are different expressions of sexuality. And if you stripped everything, so if you stripped away the, you know, morality that might be there, or the stereotypes that might be there, or whatever is there, if you just took that all away, what you'd be left with is there are different expressions of sexual orientation. And what if instead of all these categories that were necessary to label things, you know, it was just human sexual orientation, and there were different expressions of that human sexual orientation, you know, it would be a very different way in which we were related to each other as human beings on the basis of sexuality. But the moment you bring in all these different labels and categories, you know, the as human beings, we then attribute all these things to them, rather than, nope, I'm a human being and you're a human being and you might have certain preferences and likes and things that you're attracted to, but my expression of sexuality and your expression of sexuality are on equal par with each other. And there isn't one that's better than the other or should be different. So I don't know, that was just what was occurring to me as you were speaking.
Yeah, I get that, because labels to me create separation. I mean, there's a reason for it, but it also does begin to create separation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they, this is Christine. They not only create separation, they create boxes that we put people in. You know, and a lot of people say to me, because both my wife and I both used to date men prior to being with women. And people say to us, you know, well, so are you gay? Are you bisexual? You know, like, what's going on? Because for them, it's like, well, if you're with a woman, then you're a lesbian and you're not supposed to be attracted to men. With, for us, like, we just see beauty where there is beauty. If we're attracted to something or someone, then we're attracted to that. And it's never like a, this is how it has to be. When you put a label on someone, that's how it has to be. You know, my sister for a while was a vegetarian, as well as my mother-in-law. And every now and then she would get that, being a vegetarian, I'm not getting the necessary protein that I need. So she would eat meat, which for most vegetarians is like, you don't eat meat. You're a vegetarian. You're supposed to, you know. So it puts you in a box where that's what you're limited to, is what is inside the box. Of when people say lesbian, you're only supposed to be attracted to women. You're supposed to like wearing plaid, you know, you prefer pants over dresses, right?
And you're very good with tools as well.
Right. Yeah. Right. You know, and, but we just, you know, what we say to people when they ask us that is, it just so happens that right now I'm in love with a woman, and how you see it is I'm a lesbian. When, you know, however many years ago or even in the future, I could be with somebody else because that's who I want to be with at that time. That's how, like, as Dave said, that's how my love is self-expressed. That's my self-expression.
Dr. Lamar?
Yeah, I'm just sitting on the phone, I'm listening, and I'm thinking how courageous all of the guests are that are on the phone, and I'm just kind of taken in, and I will say that I thank you all for your transparency, because I believe that when you educate, like, education is knowledge, and I think today our listeners are being educated. And I think when we educate people, people are barriers to judge are kind of broken down. And I think there'll be a lot of judging barriers broken down today, because one of the things that the two older callers mentioned was that they came out when they were around 19 or teenagers. And I made the connection that Jaquetta, she's 16 years old, and she mentioned that she came out about 4 years ago, which would have made her much, much younger. which says to me that things are changing and they may not be 100% accepting, but the world is becoming a little more accepting or embracing a little more, because that was pretty young. So, and she knew at that young age. So I'm just sitting here like just in awe and just being happy to be a part of this conversation or this educational process. So, but I do have a question that I would like to ask, and you guys can answer in whichever way that you feel. But my question is, how do you deal with people that are not accepting? That's the first question. And the second piece is, are there anything, and this is personal, and I would like for you all, you know, to be as transparent as possible, but how do you feel or how do you deal with people that are not accepting? And are there things that you all have that you're not accepting of? And it could be anything, not even about sexuality, but it could be about anything. Are there any things that you guys deal with that are not, that you guys don't accept or that you judge from other people, other cultures, other situations, and so on and so forth? So I would like to get some feedback on that.
Well, those are both really great questions. As far as the how do I deal with people who are not accepting, you know, I remembered something that happened to me. I forgot about this, but when I was in college and I was really first coming out, I was taking a sexual, whatever the name of the class was, but it was a human sexuality. Okay, it was a human sexuality class. And, I went to a very large public university. And so I was in this class, and we had a smaller lab that they would do once a week with maybe about 30, 40 people in the lab. And they set up this one lab the one week, and the whole thing was kind of staged, and I found this out later, but they structured the thing on the topic of homosexuality, and their hopes were that some of the people in the class would actually come out to the class. And I wasn't, I didn't know a lot of these people. I was in the class with some friends, but as we were on this topic and they had a panel, I did come out to the class and the people who were there, and, identify myself as gay. And I remember this so vividly. Back to the whole thing about labels and stereotypes and all that, I don't necessarily have the physical attributes of someone that's thought of as stereotypically gay. All right, so I'm in this class, and I said I was gay, and I remember these two women that were sitting near me, and they just gasped. I mean, it was literally like it was an audible gasp, and I think they might even have moved their chairs a little bit or something like that. And I thought, this is so bizarre. There was nothing different in the way you were interacting with me until I said that I was gay, and then there's this very physical kind of response. And I think I'm fortunate. I'm like Christine was talking about earlier, I'm fortunate to have been born in the time that I was born and to live where I live, in Midtown Atlanta, where on a personal level, I don't encounter a lot of negative response to me. And, I live in an area where it is not uncommon to see two men or two women walking down the street, walking hand in hand, and nobody bats an eye. But at the same time, on a broader scale, there are things all the time that I hear through the media or through other places. And my initial response is, I'm saddened, I'm angry, and I'm upset that there would be that kind of response to me solely on the basis of who I happen to love or who I happen to be with. So there's that initial kind of reaction. And, I wouldn't say I'm great about this, but there then is the opportunity of, well, I can respond from that reaction, or I can help people to understand what it is to be gay, and I'm appreciative of having the opportunity to be on the show, because this is an occasion to do that, help people to understand that people who may be different because of sexual orientation aren't really different from you because you happen to be a heterosexual. And at the same time, be respectful of there are different beliefs and there are different values that people have. But I think the more we can all work together to help each other understand what it is not only to be gay, but what it is to be a black person in today's society, or what is it to be Asian, or what is it to be whatever category you're in, because unless you're in that person's shoes, you don't really understand what it is in their world. And sorry, feel free to interrupt me if I'm speaking too much. But then the second part, yeah.
Yeah, because I know that Christine has to jump off soon. So,
oh, okay, yeah.
Christine, could we get your input on this question before you jump off?
You can. So, and I want to be responsible. I'm 32 years old. I did not say that when I was supposed to say that when introducing myself. But I'm looking at this question. The first thing that came with me is I actually don't deal with people who aren't accepting. And not like I don't associate with them, but it's I don't have this conversation with them. I don't because for me, there's nothing to defend, right? Because there's nothing wrong. And I just get that. And what I told my dad is, how can I expect you to respect the choices I make in life if I don't respect the choices that you make in life? And that's how when I am interacting with people who don't approve or who have their opinions about my relationship and who I'm with, that's the context that I come from, is just as valid as my love is, your love is too, or your opinion is too. Like, my opinion is valid, your opinion is valid. And so so for me, there's no, well, I have to challenge this person, or I have to avoid this person because they believe what they believe and I believe what I believe. It's not the country we live in. It's not why America was founded. And with the, and I'm forgetting what the other part of the question is, but ultimately,
is,
like,
that's... Is there anything that you deal with that you're not accepting of yourself?
Ah, that I'm not accepting of. Right. So, yeah, I'm a human being, so there's a lot... I do have a lot of opinions. You know, like, I'm not accepting of parents who go out in public and drink with their kids, you know, because somebody's got to drive that kid home, and that kid doesn't have a choice in the matter to say, you know, I want to be in this car, or I don't want to be in this car, right? Like, they have no choice in the matter. And I'm pretty sure if I thought about it, there would be some other things that I'm like, yeah, I don't approve of that. You know, I'm not okay with that. And the biggest thing, though, that sticks out for me is people, for whatever reason, whether your religious beliefs, whether you're, you know, inside of conversation of sexuality, whether you are inside of, you know, interracial relationships, you know, like that black person shouldn't be with that white person, or that Asian person shouldn't be with that black person, or whatever, you know, the Hispanic person needs to be with a Hispanic person and not who they're with, you know, just really ignorance overall. I find it's a lot for me to overcome other people's ignorance, and they're not willing to get that you just don't know something, and to take that conversation on versus, I don't understand what you're doing, so I'm going to retaliate back against you.
Mm. And you know, you've made some really interesting points, Christine, and I know you have to go, and I'm so happy that you were able to join us, because you've made some really good points. All of you all have made some really good points, but I think one of the things that you said that kind of popped out to me when you're talking to your dad, it was like, how do I expect you to accept me, or not me, but your opinion or your thoughts about things if I can't with you? And I think it goes back to, it's unfortunate that we label, and it's unfortunate that we judge and have these preconceived notions of people or situations that we don't know about. But I think as a whole, we all have to be very cognizant about how we judge and how we prejudge, because the thing about it is, I think, unfortunately, about various things that we all do it. And so I think, you know, from having this particular show this morning is about educating and illuminating and showing us that, you know, even though we don't like it when people do it to us, that sometimes we're also guilty of doing it to other people. So just being aware of that piece. But I thank you so much for joining us. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. And it was a pleasure to be with you guys.
Okay. Jaquetta, do you want to jump in and provide your response to the question, how do you deal with people who are not accepting?
Yes. Me being 16, people think that I'm too young to know what I want. They say it's a phase and I get over it, but I don't really think that. And I haven't really met people who don't accept it because they feel like it's my lifestyle and it's how I want to live and it's who I have to take it up with and stuff like that. But if I was faced with someone who didn't accept it, I would listen to everything that he or she has to say, even if I don't like what they have to say. This is about it.
Thank you. This has been very enlightening, as Dr. Lamar said. And one of the things that I think we forget about is that these are all relationships that are being formed. And I know as a heterosexual woman, I have problems. I struggle in my relationships with men. I have my concerns when it comes to my relationships with men. And I wonder, because I don't know, and please bear with my ignorance, but this is what this show is all about. As a gay person, are there some relationship challenges or problems or issues or even concerns that you encountered? Because I don't know why I'm thinking it's just going to be happy over there. Maybe because of the word gay.
Right. That's very funny. No, that's great. I think there sometimes is that bias too, right? Like or assumption that that somehow a gay relationship wouldn't deal with the same kinds of things that come up in any relationship, whether it happens to be a same-sex relationship or heterosexual or whatever the case may be. But now I haven't been in a heterosexual relationship. I've only been in relationships with men. But we deal with the same things that everyone else deals with in terms of, how we create our lives being together and our finances and, you know, all the things that people have to deal with in relationships and including challenges. You know, my partner and I have been together for almost 7 years now. There were two periods of time when we weren't together. We had broken up and then we got back together. So, you know, we deal with all the same things. It's not really any different. It just happens to be two men together or two women together.
Thank you. Well, Jaquetta, what about you as a young person? What are some of the relationship problems, issues, concerns that you encounter?
I agree with Dave about the relationship problem. It's mainly the same. You have to worry about the same thing that you have to worry about in a heterosexual relationship.
Okay. Here's a conversation that people tend to say is that, which goes back to that nature
or nurture conversation, that it's a choice, that you're choosing this. So do you think you have been influenced by your upbringing, or was there a bad experience that happened with the opposite sex? Because that conversation is out there, that something happened, and then this is what really shifted your experience, versus this is just who I am, and I've always been this way. So now I know you've touched upon it already, but I still want to ask that question so that our listeners can know that I asked that question.
I think that it was just that I wasn't attracted to the opposite sex. I was more attracted to the same sex. And when I was six, when I have dated someone of the opposite sex, and when I have, it just didn't feel right to me. So what I mean by that is the feelings aren't the same. And when I'm with someone of the same sex, it feels right to me.
Yeah, I would, I'll tell you my experience. So I was brought up in a very loving household. We went to church regularly. We went to church every week. In fact, it would be, it's unimaginable that we want to be at church on Sunday. So in terms of do I feel I had any negative experience and somehow that influenced me or somehow impacted my orientation? And I would say no, there is absolutely nothing for me in my past that I can say, oh yeah, that thing happened and now it sort of all makes sense. There's just nothing like that. And in fact, if you would look at my environment, the assumption would be, well, this guy would have, become an adult and got married and had kids. And in fact, that's the path I assumed I was going on, because that's, what is normally expected. And I also was brought up in an environment where, although, yes, we did go to church and it was a very very, I don't want to say religious household, but certainly there was a very strong religious and Christian influence in our household. And I am a Christian now. I still identify with being a Christian. But it was also my parents, for me, were people who were very open, and not like this was a topic in our household, but they were not very judgmental kinds of people. And so if anything, I would say maybe perhaps that influenced, my being able to accept myself. But there certainly is nothing I would point to and say that influenced who I was attracted to, because there just isn't anything like that for me. It's just something, was just something that was there. I had a stronger attraction to men.
Dr. Lamar, is there anything you want to, any other questions you have for our guest?
I don't have any questions at this time. I think that they're doing a great job with just explaining their story, their life, and being very articulate about it. And again, I probably shouldn't say, but I'm really impressed with Jaquetta's ability to be able, at such a young age, with her ability to be honest and transparent and to share her story, because I can imagine, that it could be challenging sometimes. So I'm just truly just happy to be a part of this process, and so that's pretty much all.
Now, one of the things about Jaquetta that the listeners don't know is that she's from Alabama. And I wonder, does that has Jaquetta, has that impacted you any way? Like, because I know you come to Atlanta during the summer months, and so Atlanta is a bigger city, so there's more, you can blend in and not be as noticed, but coming from a smaller place, is it, do you think it has created more of a challenge for you or in your friends, or is it a non-issue?
Really, it's like a non-issue because there are plenty of people down here that's homosexual, and I think, yeah, Atlanta is a big state, and it's a lot of people up there too, but down here, it's like, I feel like I can be myself without having to worry about judgmental things and stuff, but I feel that I can be myself here in Alabama.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that. So one of the things that I've noticed is society's reaction toward a homosexual man versus a homosexual woman. And I didn't do any research on this, but what I've noticed is the reaction tends to be more extreme toward homosexual men, to the point of killing. And I don't ever recall hearing in the news about a homosexual woman being killed. And Dave, do you have any comment or thoughts on that? And the same with you, Jaquetta. Is that also been your experience that there tends to be more of a negative or a more extreme reaction towards homosexual men versus homosexual women?
Yes, it has, but I think it's the same, if you ask me.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting question. I guess I haven't really thought about it, but you're right. You don't hear about necessarily a woman being killed or being, physically harassed. I'm sure it happens, but either it happens to a lower degree or we don't hear about it, which is, of course, always possible too, what actually gets reported on. But I don't know. I'm not sure what to attribute that to, aside from perhaps maybe for men it's more confronting, or there's something about that for another man that occurs threatening to his own sexuality in some way. And now this is anecdotal. I don't have research to back this up or anything like that. But I think often what may be the case is the man who is doing that kind of violence or who has a very strong reaction might be dealing with his own sexuality and his own attraction that might be there that he doesn't want to admit or that he's resisting or pushing away. And so how it gets expressed is in a very aggressive kind of way. And I certainly have examples of where, I have known that to be, something happened later on that kind of revealed what this person was dealing with himself. So I think that might be a factor. And perhaps for women, women may not respond in that way in a more aggressive or physical kind of way.
Yeah, that's interesting. Thank you for your input on that, because I may do some more researching on it. But what you did, they did do a study with men who were incarcerated for violent crime, hate crime, and they did notice that the study was they had them watch porn, and they noticed that the ones who had the most violent reaction had more of a response to the porn. And so they were saying that there's a correlation. So.
Yeah. Well, and you think about, you know, men and women in general are wired differently, you know, and the way men respond physically is different than, you know, how a woman responds physically. So, you know, I think coming back to this whole topic of labels and stereotypes and what it means if you're gay and if that's not acceptable to you for whatever reason to self-identify yourself, then the only response that might seem logical to you is to respond in a more aggressive fashion. So I think these topics are all kind of tied together.
Yeah. And that brings me to another topic, which is men on the down low. One of the consequences to this limitation on one of the consequences to us not allowing people to or accepting people sexual orientation is that it creates shame. And shame, and one of the ingredients to shame is secrecy. And Dr. Bree Brown did an excellent TED talk on this. But the thing about secrecy is that it also has another impact, which is because within the African American community, we are not as embracing and accepting of someone's sexual orientation if it goes against what we think should be the norm, which is heterosexual. Like, that's what people within our community will put forth. I'm an African American woman. So, but what ends up happening is that the impact within the African American community is that you have these men on the down low, and how that impacts our community is that the HIV rate within the African American community for women is very high, considering we only make up 14% of the population. The other impact is that we end up with this impacting the family system. And the way that it impacts the family system is that because we are concerned about being rejected, and so thereby it has us marry, have children, knowing that this is not really where we want to be, but not wanting to upset, be rejected, hurt. And so thereby the family unit, when there are children involved, because if it's just you and another a woman, then that's fine. But then when you introduce children into it, it's not to say that it can't be a loving environment if the people are gay. What I'm saying is you come together in this union, and now this union has really been a facade, and that's the impact that it's having within. That's another impact that we're seeing, is that people are living a lie, and they're taking this lie all the way versus being able to really live and express themselves freely. And
yeah.
Because of that, go ahead. That was it, because I was getting ready to ask the question.
Well, that's a big topic, it's not necessarily limited to the African American community, because there are plenty of Caucasian men who it's the same way for, right? But I think you're right. There is, though, that kind of down low phenomena. And I think any time, so secrets, in my experience, when things are secretive or hidden and you feel like you have to keep things hidden, it drives all kinds of behavior and actions which are not necessarily very productive. And especially if you bring a family into it, you're not the only person impacted. There are other people now impacted in a variety of ways. And just from my own personal experience, my partner was married. You know, now this was long before I knew him, and his relationship with his wife was over long before I knew him as well. But and he has two children. Well, they're now adults, but you know, in the environment he grew up in, he would have been ostracized and he would have been cut off from his family. And so he just wouldn't go there in terms of allowing himself to really be expressed with his sexuality. And so he did what a lot of men do in that situation, which is get married and have a family, because that's what was expected of him to do. And, you know, he dealt with that and ultimately did, you know, end that relationship and fortunately has great relationships with his former wife and his children, only because he worked very hard for it to be that way. But that's not always the way it goes, obviously.
Wow. Well, we have reached the closing point of our show, and this has really been helpful. And I want to thank each of our guests for, as Dr. Lamar said, for your transparency. We are about knowing and growing. And thank you for being on the show. We have Dr. Lamar will be doing a retreat, and I'm going to let her tell you about her upcoming retreat. And you have 2 minutes, Dr. Lamar.
Well, thank you. Again, I want to thank everybody for participating. I'm so appreciative to be a part of this experience. But I just want to let everybody that's listening know that The Wise Inc. is doing a 3-day, 2-night retreat in North Georgia in a cabin, beautiful cabin, and it'll be July the 24th through the 26th, and it'll be a very transforming and healing old hurt from your past. And I would encourage you to email me at The Wise Inc., thewivesinc, at yahoo.com to get that information. Email me with the request, and I'll send the information out to you. And so, or you can send me a message on Facebook, and that's at The Wise Inc. as well. The Wise Inc. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that. And if you're wanting more information, Doc, there's a book that you can obtain. His name is Dr. Simon LeVay. That's LeV as in Victor, AY. And he wrote a book titled Gay, Straight, and the Reason Why. And in the book, he concludes a person's sexual orientation arises in large part from biological processes that are already underway before birth. He states sexual orientation results primarily from an interaction between genes, sex hormones, and the cells of the developing body and brain. Thank you for listening to our show. If you want more information about us, visit our website, youareworthy.org and thewivesinc.com, or follow us on Twitter at Jadea Jackson, that's J-A-I-D-E-I Jackson, and at thewivesinc. Thank you for listening to the show. This show is strictly for educational and informational purposes only. It is not therapy and thereby should not be considered a substitute for professional counseling. If you are having difficulties in your life and need to speak with someone, please contact Behavior Health Hotline at 800-715-4225. And that's our show. Thank you.
We want to welcome y'all to Two Wise Women Show.
That's right.
Jadea and Dr. Lamar.